And this, we bring in a little question here from Mira Makwana, who says, why does chronic liver disease and things like chronic drinking as well, I guess, lead to cirrhosis? And what's the process of this scarring that's going on?
The liver cells are part of a complicated organ within the liver where there's lots of different types of cells. And there's another cell sitting next to the liver cell called a stellate cell. And there are signals sent out by an injured liver cell to those stellate cells, which scar the liver. So the liver ends up being scarred in exactly the same way as someone's had an operation and there's a scar on the skin. But this scar is spread finely and diffusely throughout the whole liver.
Now, something I do know from my work at Cancer Research UK is that rates of liver cancer are going up. And we know also that liver cancer is linked to hepatitis infection. How does that work? What's the link there?
Well, it's all through liver disease. All forms of liver disease predispose patients to liver cancer in the longer term. And it's one of the things that we take great care for is to look for liver cancer at an early stage to try and pick it up. And hepatitis C is one of the major causes of liver disease in this country. So it's now one of the major causes of liver cancer. And if you have advanced liver disease, you've got a 1 in 4 risk of going on to get liver cancer subsequently. So it's a significant problem.
So it strikes me as that it's fairly important to try and treat and probably even prevent hepatitis infection. Where are we currently with treatments? And we've heard already about some current ideas, you know, this microRNA drug for future treatments. But where are we currently with treating hepatitis?
Well, there's been enormous progress in the last 4 or 5 years. We've known about interferon, which is what you and I produce when we get an infection, say flu, for example. We've known about that for quite a time. And on its own, it didn't really work very well. And then another drug was called ribavirin was introduced, and that on its own didn't do very well either. But when we combined these two drugs, we got striking improvements in response rates, which was unexpected but very gratifying. So now we think that we can treat something towards about 1/2 of the patients that come to see us. But the most important point to stress here is that the earlier we treat our patients, the better. So younger patients do much better with treatment than older patients. So it's quite important that we do see people at an early stage and we can consider treatment as early as possible in the course of the disease.
And finally, very briefly, do we already have vaccines against hepatitis C? And what hope is there for preventing the transmission of it?
Well, hope is all we have at the present. There are a lot of people working on this area. And you've heard from Joe earlier about the virus evading the immune responses and the number of tricks that it has to do this. And the problem we face at the present is we don't recognise a population who are immune to hepatitis C in the long term. They don't develop neutralising immunity. And if you can't develop neutralising immunity, it's very hard to see how you would target a vaccine response. So sadly, I think vaccine responses are some distance away, and we're really looking at prevention for now rather than a vaccine.
That's absolutely fantastic. Well, thank you, Graham. That's Graham Alexander from Addenbrookes Hospital. He's with us for the rest of the show. So if you've got any more questions for him or for us, if you're a Twitterer, you can tweet at Naked Scientists, and you can send an email to chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Thank you, Kat.